Why are moralism, mysticism, and speculation enemies of the Christian faith? Find out with the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November, Broken, 7 Christian Rules That Every Christian Ought to Break as Often as Possible. It's written by regular guest Pastor Jonathan Fisk. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can pre-order Broken by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Broken, 7 Christian Rules That Every Christian Ought to Break as Often as Possible. That's the St. Edmundsbury Cathedral Choir with the fifth stanza of the Advent hymn on Jordan's Bank, The Baptist's Cry. It is Advent. The season is upon us. So this coming Sunday, a few days hence, is the first Sunday in Advent. And Advent is, it's not difficult to explain what the season is about. But perhaps we need to step back and ask the question, why does the church keep a calendar that begins with Advent and runs out of pace with the rest of the world? I mean, first of all, we wouldn't expect the world and the church to keep a similar calendar, but the church keeps its calendar not only for heritage sake or tradition's sake. The church keeps its calendar for the gospel's sake. We'll talk about that as we discuss the season of Advent on this Friday afternoon, November the 30th. If you have questions or comments, this conversation will take us to the end of the hour and then on into the second. We'll be talking in detail about the season of Advent with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You can send us an email right here in the studio. We get them in real time, and we're able to take your questions or comments that way. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Talk back at issuesetc.org. You can send us a tweet at issuesetc. Now, in about 40 minutes or so, we're going to play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week, as we often do here on Friday's Issues Etc. It's a simple game that we play where we play four soundbites for you, and all you need to do is listen, and then you give us a call, send us an email, send us a tweet, or visit our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, and you get to pick Issues Etc. soundbite of the week that's coming up in the last half hour of the program. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is a regular guest. He's pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, and co-host of a weekly radio program called Table Talk Radio. Brian, welcome back.
Don't hold that last part against me.
I won't, I promise. Before we talk about the first season of the church year, let's talk about the church year, because people listening to us will often have this kind of common reaction, especially when they're unfamiliar with the church year. You guys keep this church calendar just because we've always done it that way, or because it's some sort of tradition, or because you're some sort of church liturgy purists about that. I know that these things matter to you, Pastor Wolfmiller. Why does the church keep a different calendar than the world, beginning with Advent?
Yeah, I think it has to have. I wonder about this sometimes. You know, people say that if you just went and dropped a Bible on people who are deserted out in the wilderness on a desert island or something like this, and you would come to a totally different conclusion. But I like to play this game in my own mind and say, if we just started from scratch, just a couple of Christian families hanging around with nothing, no tradition, just the scriptures, what would we end up looking like in a few hundred years? And I think it would be something similar. Because the two most important events in all of human history are the birth of Jesus and the death and resurrection of Jesus. And you simply have to celebrate those things. And that's what the church year is. I mean, the church year basically is, in one way or another, celebrating the incarnation and celebrating the death and resurrection of Jesus. So it's like you drop a rock in the pond and the ripples go both directions. You drop Christmas, the incarnation, on a calendar, and it ripples out before and it ripples out afterwards. And the rippling of Christmas out before is the celebration of Advent. And the rippling of Christmas out afterwards is, well, the Christmas season and then Epiphany. And the same thing happens, by the way, with Holy Week. You drop the death and resurrection of Jesus on a calendar, and it's going to ripple out beforehand. So we have Lent and pre-Lent. And then it ripples out afterwards, the season of Easter and Ascension and Pentecost and Trinity and all this.
Okay, then that brings us to the season that is upon us, the season of Advent. For someone who has never heard of it, for someone who has never observed it or celebrated it, a complete novice to the concept, how would you describe what it is the church does these 4 weeks leading up to the celebration of Easter?
I think that Advent has taken a bunch of different forms, in the history of the church, but it's basically a season of preparation for the celebration of Christmas. So we have it now. It's the four weeks before Christmas. So the first Sunday of Advent is always the Sunday closest to St. Andrew's Day on November 30th. That's just how it works out. And for these 4 weeks, they're weeks of preparation, or they're penitential weeks, perhaps, that used to be called the Small Lent. That we take time to consider how it is that our Lord comes to us. Which is the kind of shocking phenomenon of the gospel, that instead of requiring us to clamor our way up to Him, God comes down to us. He takes on our flesh and blood. He takes on our sin. He takes on our punishment. He does all of these things for us. And so we want to take a little time and pause and reflect on this and consider what it means. That the Lord comes. So that's what Advent means. Advenio is Latin for coming. And so we consider that the Lord Jesus comes to us, and we consider all the ways that He comes to us.
Let's talk about a couple of the aspects of it that are the features of it that are very important, beginning with this one, and it kind of fits in what we've been talking about so far, Brian, and that is, while it is, you say, a preparation for Christmas, and I want to get to that in a minute, it's not pre-Christmas. It's not Christmas before Christmas like we have in the rest of the world. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, that's right. There is a distinct season of Christmas in the church, and it starts Christmas Eve, and it goes for 12 days after Christmas, from Christmas to the eve of the Epiphany. And so we do have 12 days that are set apart for the celebration of Christmas. Christmas gets its own decative. Is that how we say it? The 12 days of Christmas? And that is good. So that Advent is distinct from Christmas, and this is one of perhaps the season in this church year that will clash most heartily with the seasons in the world. The world celebrates Christmas before Christmas, and then as soon as Christmas is done, then it's over. You know, I mean, December 26th, and the Christmas trees are out in the front yard waiting for the garbage man to come pick them up. The church does the opposite. We start the celebration of Christmas on Christmas Eve, and then we keep that thing going. So it's always a tension. It's always a fight in our house. Our families grew up, and you put the Christmas tree up and all the Christmas decorations the Friday after Thanksgiving, you know, and you take them down as soon as possible. So I'm always trying to wait longer and keep them up longer, and this balance of how you figure this sort of thing out. But it's right. Advent and Christmas are distinct.
How would you say they're distinct from one another? What's the difference between, even though they are obviously related, and obviously one prepares for the other, what's the distinction between those two?
Well, Advent has the particular, I mean, because it has this kind of, well, not kind of, because it has its preparatory sense, it then is a season of repentance, while Christmas is a season of rejoicing. And you see this in the liturgy, for example. In Advent, we take out the glory in Excelsis, the hymn of praise, which comes at the beginning of the service. We take that song of the angels out. It's kind of a, you mute the joy of the liturgy slightly. We consider, we hear the preaching of John the Baptist through the season of Advent, and we know that preaching was a calling to repentance. And we want to remember what repentance is. Repentance is contrition, the sorrow that comes from the Lord's law showing us our sin, and in faith in the promise that our sins are forgiven. So, I mean, repentance is not something that lacks joy or lacks delight or anything like this. But it is a reflective and penitential time. Whereas Christmas is full-on rejoicing. I mean, in the hymns, in the liturgy, in the feasting, it's called the Feast of the Incarnation for good reason. It's a time of great joy in celebrating what the Lord has done for us.
When you say it's preparatory, penitential, a season of repentance, those are all words that are, especially penitential and repentance, that are very easily misunderstood even by Christians. What is the biblical picture of a penitent or a repentant preparation?
Right. Well, We have the Lord's law, and I mean, perhaps we do well just to remember this again. What repentance is? Our confessions have this marvelously clear. We think of repentance as a changed life, but our Lutheran confessions will define repentance much more biblically, and they'll say it has these two parts: contrition and faith. And this, if you took the law and the gospel and you know how some of these, there's these painters, I've seen this, I've always wanted to try this, I never have, but they'll just take, like, water balloons and fill them up with paint and throw them against the wall and then they see what happens, you know, what kind of developed out of that. Well, if you were to take a water balloon and fill it up with the law, and then you were to take a water balloon and fill it up with the gospel and throw it against someone's conscience, then the result is repentance. The law strikes you, and you realize what a miserable sinner you are. You realize that not only do you deserve death, but you deserve death eternally. And then the gospel comes and strikes your heart, and you realize then your conscience, and you realize what Jesus has done, that all of that guilt, all of that shame, all of that sin, all of that death that you've deserved, Jesus has taken it himself, and now he gives you himself in its place and the life and salvation that he has. So biblical repentance and penance and all of the preparation is really to consider ourselves in light of the Lord's law and to consider ourselves in light of the Lord's gospel.
So the biggest mistake that Christians make with respect to repentance or preparation is they tend to think it's all about the law without the gospel. About 30 seconds here.
Well, yeah, that's right. I mean, right. We all, you know, it's not, we remove the Gloria from the liturgy in Advent, but we don't remove the gospel. I mean, you don't have anything if you don't have the gospel. And I guess that's the danger, is that when we think of preparation or repentance, we think of the thing we do first, you know, the law and the sorrow, and we think of the thing that comes afterwards, you know, the fruit of repentance and good works and a changed life. But the center of it all, in the church, in Advent, in Christmas, in everything that we do, the center of it all is Jesus forgiving our sins.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest. We're talking about the season of Advent. When we come back, it's Hour 2 of Issues, etc., and our conversation with him continues. There's a lot more to talk about. Any question or comment you might have about the season of Advent as the church begins and steps forward into that first of its calendar's seasons, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email with a question or a comment, talkback@issuesetc.org. We are coming to you live this Friday afternoon, November the 30th. You can send us a tweet @issuesetc as well. We'll be right back with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. More on the season of Advent in about 3 or 4 minutes.
The faith once for all delivered to the saints. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
A Savior who is Christ the Lord, a Christmas sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
This child's soft infant flesh will one day be the sacrifice that pays for our sins.
And for any size year-end donation, we'll send you a CD of this sermon and a sermon preached by Todd on the Confession of Peter. You can make a year-end online gift today at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping us in mind at the end of the year.
If any former evangelicals are hearing me speak right now, I want to assure you, you don't have to be a homeless Christian. If you would go to issuesetc.org, look on their website, you'll find a list of churches. Find one close to you and attend that church. There, you can receive the true gospel, you don't have to be a homeless Christian, and they will not call you a backslider.
To find a church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel.
Advent hymn, O Come Emmanuel, sung by the choirs of Norwich and Wells Cathedral. We're talking about the season of Advent on this Friday afternoon, November the 30th. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest for about the next half hour of the program. A little bit later, we'll be playing Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. That's four soundbites that we'll play for you. All you have to do is listen and then give us a call, 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at IssuesETC or vote at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC, and you get to pick Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Also your chance to win the LPR bundle package, an I Have Issues t-shirt, an Issues Etc. travel mug pen, bumper sticker, and the Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio mouse pad coming up in about a half hour here on Issues Etc. Pastor Wolfmiller, we talked about the preparation and the penitence, and a major figure, not a feature, but a figure of the season of Advent in the readings that the church follows in its hymnody is John the Baptist. He would seem to fit in very beautifully with preparation and repentance.
Right. He shows up every Sunday in the proper preface. The proper preface is the prayer that we have before the Lord's Supper, and it's a unique part of the liturgy because it changes not by Sunday, but it changes by season. And John the Baptist comes up so every Sunday in that way, and then especially at least in the historic readings that came from, I think it was Pope Gregory in the year 600. John the Baptist shows up especially in the last two Sundays of Advent as he's preparing the way for Jesus to come as he came the first time, and we celebrate that first coming. Especially at Christmas, rejoicing in the Lord's incarnation. And you're right; he is the character of Advent. I mean, Advent gets his character from John, really, who was an austere fellow who lived in the wilderness. He was only, and I don't know if in your imagination, Todd, it's like this, but in my imagination, always John the Baptist looks a lot older than Jesus. But they would have been cousins and contemporaries. John was only 6 months older than Jesus. And he was out there in the wilderness living with camel skin and eating locusts and wild honey and calling the people to repentance. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John is the voice of the one who's in the wilderness crying out and preparing a way for the Lord. And he's casting down the mountains through humble repentance. And he's lifting them up, lifting up the low valleys through faith. And making a straight way for Jesus to come.
Because he is John the Baptist, the baptizer, does that make, and maybe this is something we haven't emphasized adequately for the season of Advent, being a season of repentance and faith, that it's a baptismal season?
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that, but it's right. I mean, baptism is the gift of repentance. I mean, maybe my water balloon analogy then actually makes more sense, because this is, I mean, the Lord gives us the gift of repentance in baptism. I mean, he casts us low and he lifts us out and gives us life in the name of Jesus and adopts us into his family so that we can say, I mean, if you are baptized, you are ready for Jesus to come. You're ready for him to come back. You're ready for the trumpet to blow. You're ready for the world to end. If you're baptized and you have the gift of the Lord's name, his forgiveness, then you're ready for death. I think you're right.
Is it right to also, since John the Baptist also bridges Old and New Testament, a lot of the imagery in the hymns of Advent, a lot of the emphasis seems to be kind of Old Testament-ish. That is, Christ in the Old Testament, Christ foretold. It's almost like the church gets shoved back into the Old Testament for 4 weeks during Advent.
Yeah, that was O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, right, at the beginning of that we bumped in with?
Yeah.
And that comes from this ancient tradition of the O antiphons, and that's there's these eight sayings that are said. It starts on December 17th and goes to December 24th or 5th, where you have these Old Testament names of Jesus brought into the church's daily prayers, and that hymn grew out of that. And so that's exactly right. We have all these Old Testament names of Jesus. And we consider that. The Old Testament as well as the New is just is full of Jesus. He's there on every. That's what the whole book is about. The whole Bible is about Jesus. So the Old Testament is here. This Messiah is coming, And then the New Testament here, this Messiah has come already. He's here. He came. So that's exactly right. So it makes 100% sense that we would consider the coming of Jesus by considering the Old Testament texts and all these promises. I think it's. I was thinking about this too. How it is that John is the bridge character? John the Baptist is the bridge character between the Old and New Testament, because Jesus says this incredible thing about John. He says he is the greatest of the prophets, and yet he is the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. That's trying to sort out exactly what that means, but I suspect that one of the troublesome things about being appointed a prophet in the Old Testament is that you didn't ever get to see accomplished that thing which you were prophesying. All the prophets saw the death of Jesus, his crucifixion, his sacrifice for our sins, from a great distance. But John, it was not such a great distance. It was right around the corner. But here John dies, the last prophet dies, just a couple of years, maybe a year and a half, before the death of Jesus. Can you imagine it? I mean, that thing which he preached, which he longed to see, he missed it. But the least in the kingdom of heaven, that is the smallest of the Christians, knows how our salvation was won, exactly how it was won. He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. And in fact, that's an important thing to remember, because even though we go back to the Old Testament in the season of Advent and consider all these promises of Jesus coming, we don't pretend like we don't know how the story ends. The same is true for Good Friday. We don't mourn on Good Friday like we don't know that Jesus is going to be raised. It's not a game that we're playing. We go back to the Old Testament and see all these promises, knowing how they were fulfilled, knowing about how Joseph brought his family to Bethlehem, knowing how Jesus was named, knowing how he fled to Egypt and returned to Nazareth and grew up and became strong before God and man. We know all these things, and we rejoice to when we go back to the promises that we know that God fulfilled them.
It is often said, and we've talked so far in our conversation about Advent as essentially preparation for Christmas, which it certainly is, but it isn't only that. There's a flavor of Advent almost every time we talk about it with our guests. They describe this threefold aspect, and what we've
right.
described here only the first fold of the threefold. What are the other two?
Well, and I was trying to, I was thinking about that Jesus comes to us constantly, that Jesus, and especially in the Word and Sacrament, that he will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and that he came the first time in the flesh. So that's the threefold coming. And I was, we say it so often, and we go over it in Advent so much, I was trying to think of something different, but there's really not. I mean, that's really what it is. I mean, the first Sunday of Advent, we hear of the triumphal entry into Jesus, of Jesus into Jerusalem, and we get to consider how it is that the Lord comes to us humbly in his word every single Sunday. Though he ascended, he did not abandon us or leave us. He promised us that he would be with us always, even to the end of the age, that he would never forsake us. So that the ascension is not Jesus leaving us. He continues to come to us, and he comes humbly, and he comes graciously. So that's the first coming. And then the second coming is the second coming, when Jesus returns in glory. And that's especially the character of the second Sunday in Advent, when we hear the Lord's coming in glory, and we remember that even though the promises were fulfilled that he would come and die and be raised, he has one promise yet to keep, and that is to come and bring him into the world and bring us to the resurrection. And then, of course, we have the coming in the flesh, which is really the thing that comes along in the last 2 weeks of Advent.
It occurs to me, and we've only got about a minute and a half here, Brian, but it occurs to me that many Christians, even if they do celebrate Advent, and so many of them don't, but if they do, if they don't have that middle one, at least chronologically, they might talk about, oh, Jesus came, and then he will come again. But with no sacramental theology, that is, no understanding of Christ's real presence through his word and sacraments here and now, they don't have the middle part. They don't have the comfort of Christ coming now. Talk about that.
I'm afraid that that's how most of the church lives now. I mean, that Jesus is very far away. We might be in the age of the Holy Spirit, so that if God shows up, it's in the form of the Spirit to, you know, stir us up or whatever. But Jesus is far from us. His flesh, his humanity is far away from us. His death and his mercy is far away from us. I'm afraid that that's how most of the church these days lives. That the promise that Jesus gave, take and eat, this is my body, or here, this is my gift of baptism by which I make you holy, or he is near to you in the word that's preached, like Paul says in Romans, that these things are missing, and it's true. So then what do you do when you come to worship? It's not Jesus coming in humility to serve us as gifts and give us life. It's rather us coming to serve God in some way, that we would ascend up to him, or some other sort of conception. But no, that's right. Our Christian life is that Jesus comes to us daily, weekly, moment by moment, that he is always with us, and he's with us according to his name, his mercy.
We'll talk about that more on the other side of the break. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest, co-host of a weekly radio show called Table Talk Radio, and pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
Christological, creedal, confessional. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Pilgrim Lutheran, Santa Monica, California. Emmanuel Lutheran, Terre Haute, Indiana. Trinity Lutheran, San Angelo, Texas. Trinity Lutheran and Emmanuel Lutheran, Holloway, Minnesota. St. John Lutheran, Schaumburg, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Pipestone, Minnesota. Real Lutheran Fellowship, Rochester, Minnesota. Living Word Lutheran Church, The Woodlands, Texas. St. James Lutheran, Logansport, Indiana. St. John's Lutheran, State Center, Iowa, and Trinity Lutheran, West Chicago, Illinois. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.
Sometimes what God has us do is the harder thing. This is why Jesus characterizes discipleship as taking up your cross, losing your life, and denying yourself.
Narcissism, which is narcissism and eisegesis, which is reading things into Scripture that are not there. What do we call people who are not strong on religious liberty, not strong on freedom of association, and not strong on freedom of speech? I'm having increasing problems myself referring to those people as liberals.
On Christmas Day, as you look out at all this white snow, I want you to see the snow as red, red with the blood of Jesus Christ.
In about 20 minutes, we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Those four sound bites, you'll get to vote on each and every one of them, and you get to pick Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week in the last half hour of Issues Etc. We're talking about the season of Advent. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest, pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado. Brian, you were talking before the break about when there is no sacramental theology in a church, and they, because of that, cannot speak of Christ's presence among them now in this real sense. You said something like his flesh is far away. Without a sacramental theology, Jesus' flesh is not just far away, it is completely inaccessible. I mean, entirely, you can pray, You can think about him. You can remember him. But there is no contact with the incarnate Christ. He's phoning it in and you're phoning it up. Talk about how for the church militant today, the church that is still on this side of the resurrection, sandwiched between the resurrection of Christ and the resurrection of all flesh, we have to have the flesh of Christ. Otherwise, we're not the church.
I remember at seminary reading through our Lutheran Confessions, Book of Concord. I was reading through the Formula of Concord, Article 8, which is of the person of Christ, and it's pretty dense. It's the beefiest part of our whole confession, which is fairly beefy. And I'm reading through this thing, trying to wrap my head around it, and I remember that all of a sudden, Martin Chemnitz, who wrote this particular section, basically breaks into a sermon in the middle of this confession of Christ, talking about this very thing. And he's contrasting the understanding of the Lutherans with the understanding of the Calvinists and then everyone else. I mean, basically everybody gets their Christology from the Calvinists. And he says, this is our most dear comfort, that Christ dwells with us, that he the man who share in our suffering, who was tempted, we are, the one who was nailed to the cross, that he is with us according to that nature by which he is our brother and our friend, or something like that, which is just the most wonderful thing in the world, that it's not the divine nature of Christ that dwells with us. I mean, you can't separate the divine and human nature, but that Jesus, our brother, Jesus, our friend, Jesus, the one who was nailed to the cross, who took our flesh into the grave and carried it out again, Jesus who was hungry and who was thirsty and who was beaten and who was mocked, that Jesus who took on our flesh in the womb of Mary, that is who is with us day after day. Our high priest who was able to sympathize with us because in every way he was tempted like us. And perhaps the danger of Advent is thinking that, because it's a season of preparation, it's thinking that Jesus is far off and now he'll show up. I mean, he's waiting in the wings. He has no contact with us. He's, you know, somehow in the sound booth cut off from us. And then, well, when the last day comes and the curtain's drawn back, and then we'll be with Jesus again. No, we are with him now. He is with us now, and not in some sort of vague, ghostly way. He's with us with his flesh and blood, which means that he's with us according to his mercy.
Why do those two go together, his flesh and blood and his mercy?
Well, precisely because this is why on Christmas Jesus takes upon himself our nature, our human nature, so that he can also take upon himself our sin and our death and be gracious and kind to us, so that he can make atonement for our sins, so that he can justify us, forgive us. The things that he assumes in his incarnation are the tools of our redemption. So when Jesus takes upon himself flesh and blood for the purpose of dying on the cross, then his flesh and blood is his mercy. And this, by the way, is why the presence of the Holy Spirit is always so comforting, because the Holy Spirit now proceeds from Jesus, who's our brother. You know, it says in John, there's this text, right, that the Holy Spirit had not yet ascended, had not yet been poured out, because Jesus had not yet been exalted or ascended. So that Jesus is now proceeding from the Holy Spirit is now proceeding from Jesus, who was crucified. The one who sits at the right hand of the Father is the Lamb who was slain. I mean, everything now about Jesus is for our benefit, because everything that he did in his life and his death and his incarnation was for our salvation.
Can we talk about some of those, the things of Advent that are, what shall we say, I don't want to say decorative as though they're merely decorative, but they do tend to be viewed as Advent decoration. Beginning with the color, and this is true of all the church years, the church seasons, they have their color. Advent would be either purple or blue. What is that there to remind
right.
us?
Yeah, this is kind of liturgical multimedia. And I think it's good. You know, the whole purpose of all this church year stuff, and I think we almost got, maybe didn't get all the way there when we first started talking about this, the purpose of all of these things is to teach. And the purpose and the teaching of the church is about Jesus. So all of these things are to teach us of Christ. In fact, I think of the church here is if you told someone to say the second and third articles of the creed really, really slow, so that they started in November and they ended in October. I mean, you took 365 days to say the second article of the creed, and then you'd have the church here. It's just kind of what it is. So all these things are teaching us about the life and death and resurrection of Jesus and the life of the church that comes from that. It used to be purple, I suspect, and some churches still have purple the season of Advent, and or violet, I guess, red and black together, and that's the color of repentance. It's switched, and I think most churches probably now have blue for the first two and last Sundays of Advent, and then they switch to a rose color because the third Sunday has this kind of characteristic of joy in the middle. And this is a royal color, and it I suspect points to the fact that Jesus, the one who comes in humility, comes to be our king, the king of mercy, king of kindness and love.
There is usually some form of it's a wreath or it's some kind of timekeeping device involving candles of different colors that reflect that very color scheme that you were talking about before. What's the Advent wreath about?
Right. That's what, blue, pink, blue again. I don't know the history of the Advent wreath. If you know, I can't remember where that comes from, but it's true. It's like and I think it's a good and pious custom that we're counting down. We're counting the Sundays in Advent and really counting down to Christmas. It's kind of nice. And Christmas has such strong traditions with Christmas trees and decorations and all these other things. It's nice that Advent has a little bit on its own to combat it. So you can't put the Christmas decorations up because, look, the Advent wreath is in the way. And so it probably is most helpful in that sense as well. And I know, you know, the kids, as they see the candles getting shorter and shorter, they know that Christmas is getting closer and closer as well. The candle, though, the light, is always a symbol of the Lord's Word and Spirit, and a symbol of alertness. You know, we just, on the last Sunday of the church here, had the parable of the five wise and five foolish virgins, and the five foolish virgins didn't have oil to run their lamps. So we light the candles, showing the readiness that we have for the Lord Jesus to come.
And with only about 30 seconds or so here, one of the things that happens to occur then is the light grows over the course of this four-week season. What's that about?
Well, we have the sunrise is always a picture of the coming of Jesus. So the night is far spent, the day is at hand. The scriptures would say, and this is how it is always for us, as the night of sin and the darkness of the darkness of the devil's kingdom is giving way to the promise of the Lord's kingdom, and especially as we look forward to the resurrection, which is the great dawning of righteousness, we rejoice and look forward to that day as well.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest. He's pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado. When we come back, just another question for him on the season of Advent, then we'll play Issues, Etc. soundbite of the week. Since Advent has begun, and this coming Sunday is the beginning of this season for the Church, we here at Issues Etc. are going to be, I like to think of it as inundating you, our listeners, with some Advent Encore programs, Repentance and the Advent Season with Pastor Matt Harrison. Pastor Will Whedon on the O Antiphons of Advent that you heard Pastor Wolfmiller mention just a moment ago. We'll be studying the hymn, Lo He Comes with Clouds Descending, a great Advent hymn. Dr. Arthur Just and Jeff Gibbs will join us in that encore presentation to talk about John the Baptist, the figure of Advent, plus more. Also, at Lutheran Public Radio, Sacred Music for the World, Advent music begins this Sunday. You will hear, you actually can hear the difference at Lutheran Public Radio, where we have been in the long season of Pentecost with the church's general music, sacred music, at Lutheran Public Radio. Now with Advent, the tone turns toward Advent music. Not Christmas yet. We wait till December 24th, Christmas Eve, to begin Christmas music at Lutheran Public Radio. But because we follow the seasons of the church year, this coming Sunday will mark the beginning of Advent music at LutheranPublicRadio.org. It's sacred music for the world. It's absolutely free, and it's 24/7. For you to listen to, especially during the season of Advent. In those evenings when the light gets low so fast, tune in to LutheranPublicRadio.org, Sacred Music for the World, and listen to some of that Advent music, you and your family. When we come back, one more question for Pastor Brian Wolfmiller on the season of Advent, and then it's Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The Virtual Organist Service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift between now and the end of the year, we'll send you a CD of A Christmas and the Confession of Peter sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. You can also contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size year-end gift, we'll send you a CD of two of Todd's sermons.
Does a Christian have a different reason for voting than a non-Christian? I've written an article for the latest Issues Etc. journal titled Vote for the Other Guy. You can read it by subscribing to the Issues Etc. journal. Just look for the subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The latest journal also details E.D. Wadsworth's journey from evangelical mysticism to the present tense gospel of the Reformation. Subscribe to the online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
What makes Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois so special? Our new members talk about the family atmosphere, the welcoming people, and the outstanding music. But most importantly, you'll be confronted with your sin and comforted with the assurance that Jesus has removed that sin so that you can live each day as His baptized and forgiven child. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is at 612 North State Street in Freeburg, Illinois. Sunday worship is at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:20 a.m. Call 618-539-5664.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues Etc.
A new survey from Chile undercuts old abortion logic.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
A recent study published in Chile shows that banning therapeutic abortions there in 1989 did not lead to an increase in maternal mortality rates. Instead, those rates continue to decline after the ban. This contradicts the pro-abortion logic that says keeping abortion legal somehow improves women's health. As it turns out, other factors such as birth delivery by skilled attendants, access to prenatal care and nutrition, and women's educational levels are far more indicative of maternal health. Despite what some would have us think, legalized abortion is not the path to women's health.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
Savior of the nations, come, show yourself a virgin son, marvel.
Concordia Seminary Chorus with the Advent hymn, Savior of the Nations Come. We're talking about Advent for the next few minutes of Issues Etc. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest. In about 5 minutes, we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week on this Friday afternoon. Brian, with only a few minutes here, make the case. We've talked about what it is, but make the case that the church should and needs to continue to celebrate the season of Advent, even as the rest of the world is on to what it believes to be bigger and better things, jumping the gun on Christmas. Why does the church stay here in Advent for 4 weeks?
Maybe two things. The first is that, as we mentioned, right at the very get-go, is that the church emphasizes by Advent and all the other church year stuff, the church is able to emphasize the coming of Jesus, especially the incarnation, His coming glory, and all of the gifts that He has for us, His people. And it just, it has to be that way. I mean, if you have a big event coming, it could be anything, a big announcement, a big birthday party, some sort of family celebration, or anything like this. You do things to get ready for it, and you show the importance of that. And so the church does that, showing the importance of Christmas. But then there's a second thing, too, and it has to do with what you mentioned. We are constantly being tempted during the time leading up to Christmas to get wrapped up in the kind of busyness of the day-to-day stuff of the holidays. And there's a kind of a Mary and a Martha a story happening with us, and Advent then puts us where Jesus says the good part is, sitting at His feet and listening to His word of kindness and love, His word of forgiveness and life, His word that gives us life and joy, so that we in Advent we pause from all of the running around, and we sit at the feet of Jesus, and we hear Him call us His children and His friends, and that is the great joy of Advent, and no Christian would ever want to lose that.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado. He co-hosts a weekly radio show called Table Talk Radio. You'll find a link to Table Talk Radio under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Brian, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd. Appreciate it. A blessed Advent.
And to you as well.